times to break into the song.
Yes, it was. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Good Brothers Wrestling Podcast. And today...
Wait, you gotta say we go up and down the road, talk about wrestling in our car and all that.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Our gimmick is we sit in our car, we record this on our phone coming home from work.
You don't gotta tell them we record it on the phone, just say we're...
That's the whole gimmick, man. This is live, pal. So this is pretty much what we do. We talk about professional wrestling, something we've loved since we were small children, since I was 7 and you were...
Don't say our ages. It makes me embarrassed.
You're embarrassed as a kid.
What we're talking about today, people.
Yes, today.
We have been hyped and psyched about this all day long since I thought of it yesterday. Did I think of it yesterday?
2 days ago.
All day long. Today we will immortalize
our toy soldiers.
Our toys, our favorite wrestling organization of all time. Our wrestling organization, the MBWF, the Michael and Bobby Wrestling Federation, that we promoted as children, that we played with every day with our Hasbro WWF figures and other figures, that we created newsletters for. I remember creating newsletters for that on that old IBM computer. We had big events. I would say that we thought about the MBWF every day. Is that, would you not think that's true for probably 3 years?
I mean, yeah, we probably play with those toys every day. You know, a break here and there to play with, like, those old Dick Tracy toys. Maybe if somebody came along, you know, want to play with those. But, yeah, no, certainly for a steady stream, every day we play with those guys. We are making cards. We're building cards. Dream cards, even.
Yes, dream card. Even Sting, though this is a dream card. But
Sting was taking on Bret Hart. You know, you just
things
never
you were
knew.
Never going to see in the ring at the time. And, of course, let's catch you up. We're talking about WWF Hasbro figures. They came out in 1990. They ran for about 4 years. I've been reviewing them over on goodbrotherswrestling.com. 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 You can go check out my review. We go series by series. But we're talking about those because I've been talking about those. I've probably written 20,000 words about these figures because we love them. They're beloved. So we had, you know, we had almost all of them. Let's talk about the first figure we got. I mean, is that sort of the way to go back to the beginning? I mean, we got into wrestling around WrestleMania 7. I remember you got sick. You had to go to the doctor on a school day. And what did you come home with?
I came home with the Million Dollar Man. And...
No, you just had one figure.
I thought I had two. I came home with the Million Dollar Man, and he started the MBWF, which is not to be confused with the Real People Wrestling Federation.
No, the RPWF was us wrestling each other on hotel beds or whatever you told that woman that time, that waitress.
We were just...
The MBWF...
We weren't wrestling in the hotel. We were doing spears and different moves.
The MBWF was strictly for toys, so on that day, what did you get that Million Dollar Man figure out? Was it Magic Mart?
I got a Magic Mart.
And why did you buy him?
Because... He had an accessory.
And what was his accessory? Not all the Hasbro figures had accessories. No, I think this is a really legit accessory. The Million Dollar Man came with the Million Dollar Championship belt. And what, you can't design, you can't have a wrestling organization without a championship to win. There's no point to it. Of course, you can't have a wrestling organization with one dude either, but let's get that out of the way. We got Million Dollar Man. So... then we bought a few more.
I remember, I was only allowed one toy. I wasn't that sick.
Well, no. Well, and then I remember we bought three more at Family Toy Warehouse. It was Rowdy Roddy
Piper. Hall of Legends.
Yes. Hall of Legends Family Toy Warehouse. Was that a chain, I wonder?
No. No way.
You don't think Family Toy Warehouse was a chain?
Nope. I think it was
some sort of chain. It was kind of like KB Toys, I think.
It was huge, people. It was a literal warehouse of toys. It was the greatest toy store I'd ever been in my life.
You could get everything. It seemed like there was just huge aisles devoted to every toy line you could think of.
That's where we got all our WCW Galoob toys.
No, that's not true. We got Family Toy Warehouse was great, but there was also KB Toys in the mall. I mean, Family Toy Warehouse was like an hour and a half in Beckley. It was in Beckley. We never went to Beckley.
You can't say.
I'm actually Googling Family Toy Warehouse right now to see if it was a chain. But yeah, we went there one day. Picked up Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who has an accessory.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Jake Roberts accessory. And Rowdy Roddy Piper,
who did not have an accessory.
And I would say on that day, it was, no, this, yeah, it was a regional toy chain.
And for that reason, for years to come, years and years after that, I thought your favorite wrestler was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
You know, I was in a Rowdy Roddy Piper phase at the time. He had just come back to WWF, and he was feuding with Bret Hart, I guess. Well, it was before he started his feud with Bret Hart, before he got his IC title run. Something about him, though. Maybe it's because he had red hair. Did he have red hair? He wasn't that red.
I don't think so.
Well, no, he didn't have red hair at all, really.
He just liked wearing kilts, man.
Maybe I was just the hot Scot.
You like kilt? You like to wear dusters like Sting?
Shut up.
Remember that old
duster? That was like the Undertaker.
I wish we could find a picture of you in that duster.
I don't. So yeah, we picked up some more, and then we were hooked. We were buying them all. I remember the next thing we bought was the WWF ring, the big blue ring. If anybody remembers that big blue plastic ring, the perfect accessory. The perfect ring.
Well, it came with a belt. That's what made it.
It came with
great.
The WWF championship belt.
It came with the winged eagle, the classic WWE belt. So now we can.
Do you remember the day that we got the ring?
No, I don't.
It was, I want to say it was at Sears. It was at Sears because we were going to a family reunion.
I remember
We got the ring and Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior all on the same day.
Oh, man, that seems nuts.
What a great day, right?
I remember getting some Ninja Turtles masks on the way to a family reunion.
That was
Princeton.
I think that was a later family reunion. No, that was an earlier family reunion, probably.
How much later could it get that we were buying Turtles masks?
I remember having those Turtles masks. Those things were great. Because didn't you have Leonardo and I had Raphael?
Yes, I did. Yep, you are correct.
Did I have Raphael? Was he? Because I wanted size. Nunchucks. Those were great. It was like a mask with a turtle nose that you tied to your face, and then was that it? It was just that and the weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were great.
I do believe.
I remember. Well, here's the thing. I remember that family reunion that you're talking about with the Ninja Turtle masks, and we were. I don't even remember any of this family. I couldn't tell you any of our family that we know that was there. But I remember that we made a wrestling ring with like a wrestling area with like four orange cones in their yard. And I had on a football jersey without any football team on it. I remember that. And we were like wrestling with two of our assumed cousins outside in that yard.
Huh.
Ring time. I feel like we had a guy that we were related to named Raymond. I know there was a guy that we were related to that died in the mines. He was Raymond, but I don't think that's who I'm thinking of. Beats me of who these people we were having a family reunion with were.
Seems like you'd remember, but you know, you have distant relatives.
Maybe
over
it was
ham
people
dinner.
On granny sides, like, you know, maybe it was people on granny side, like the Macklemore side, you know.
Buddy, I tell you this, I got cousins I ain't even met. That's what our dad tells us.
But I can remember that, and they had a big like patio that was covered, and of course there's all sorts of fried chicken. Eating fried chicken off of a paper plate is
on
just
a
like
summer day.
Woo! It's like if there's any sort of event from our childhood that adults were gathered, fried chicken on a paper plate was involved.
Man, you know what stinks? I was leaving work and I was like, I want some fried chicken. We should have stopped and got some.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to eat right now.
You're talking about fried chicken, and you don't want any fried chicken.
I'll tell you, the fried chicken. Fried chicken, you know what fried chicken really makes me just think of is funerals. Because I feel like every time somebody died, people would always bring fried chicken to the house. Like, oh man, I'm sorry your relative's dead. Here's a bunch of fried chicken.
Always make you feel a little bit better?
I don't know
when
that it did.
When you ate that chicken?
I don't know that it did.
Now,
fried chicken
us,
to
now,
me
tell,
is not a comforting
story.
Food.
Now tell this story.
I don't know what the... I'm not telling that story.
All
right. Why would I tell that story to people that we didn't know?
I don't know. I just like to say it a lot. All right. So anyways, fried chicken. But you're forgetting about the before the ring, before we had the ring, we didn't need no stinking ring to play with our toys.
Oh, no.
What did we have? We had
our coffee
table. Grandma's.
No, you're getting confused.
I'm not getting confused.
We had the ring.
You're getting confused.
Well, okay, I do remember playing on our grandma's. So our grandma had like one of those metal outside tables with like a grating top. The top was like lattice. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it wasn't, you know, there were little holes in it. And we would play on that a lot. A lot of MBWF matches happened on that. We called it the Founders.
The first one happened on that, and that's why it was called.
You're right. The first matches ever, MBWF matches ever happened on that. It was the Founders table.
So how am I getting ahead of myself?
I guess you're not. I guess we had the ring later after that. But it seems like we had more than four figures at that time.
Nope. It was four figures fighting each other.
Well, speaking of Mums's table outside, there was another series of MBWF challenges I remember. And I know I dug these a lot. I don't remember you playing with them, but Mums had a grill that sort of looked, a brick grill that sort of looked like a pyramid.
It still does.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it. Yeah, she still has it. If anybody's wondering if it, the bricks are still out there. And I would have all the face-painted wrestlers like Demolition and Legion of Doom. What are you shaking your head for?
I'm not. I was thinking about how fun it was.
No, you weren't. Because you never played this. I'm the one that played it and invented it.
Down there on the Founders table.
It was not on the table. It was on the grill.
I know. I was thinking about how fun the table was.
I just don't. You're mad because I didn't want to tell a story about my dead grandmother.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I was mad because you were getting hot at me.
I was getting hot because you were like, she still got that brick grill. Nobody cares about that. I used the word had instead of has. But I'm just referencing the past. Am I not referencing the past? This is supposed to be a fun episode. Yes. I think we're just tripping all over our wieners trying to get out all the greatness that was the MBWF.
I'm not stopping you.
I don't say things and you're stopping me to say other things. We should just
talk. I'll tell you what. Just go and I'll jump in. You go.
No, I don't want to just go and let you jump in. We were doing good. We were doing really good until you threw me off with this grill thing.
I said she still has an effing grill.
And I corrected you. I corrected myself. And I did get a little hot about that correction. But
the stupidest thing in the world to get hot or butthurt about was
she
still has a grill.
Really? Or is it more stupid to get butthurt when you were making butthurt faces? People can't see the faces that you were making, shaking your head. And I'm trying to figure out what's wrong while I'm sitting here. And speak. And hold this phone. I'm doing like four things at once. And make beautiful memories. Recall beautiful memories.
They are beautiful memories.
Let's make a pact and I'll get mad again.
As long as you don't get hot. Let's make a pact.
I'm the only one that gets mad about things.
I was getting you hot again. All right, let's go. Come on. Demolition.
I don't want to talk about the pyramid. Yeah, so Ultimate Warrior, Demolition, and the Legion of Doom would be on different levels of the grill, and you would have to battle your way up to the top of the grill. The Warrior, was on top of the grill. And then if you won that, you would win the challenge. And I remember the Honky Tonk Man winning that one time. And that was a really, really fun time. So yeah, I had a lot of fun on the grill. Okay, that's still there.
It is still
there. The table's not there anymore, by the way, but the grill is still there.
What, Mom's replacing with a glass table?
You know how furniture is. You get rid of it. It probably rusted.
Founders table. Hall of Legends in the Founders table.
Why don't you turn that down to intermittent or something so it's not so... I mean, you need the windshield wipers on.
No windshield wipers.
I mean, just make it slow. I mean, you know, it's not raining that hard.
I think they're going to squeak no matter what.
Yeah, but they don't have to do it so much.
That's true.
This is going off the rails. I'm just going to cancel the entire podcast forever.
Just do a very good tweet it out. Hey, everybody, listen up. We're talking about some beautiful memories. And summertime always reminds us of the MBWF because those were some of the most cherished times. The times you could get outside and dig a big mud pit in your yard.
Yes.
And have a big mud pit wrestling match with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Greg Valentine.
I don't know why Hacksaw Jim Duggan was always the mud pit champion, but he excelled in that mud, in that little hole we dug in the yard that we called the mud pit.
I wonder how Mom and Dad felt about that.
You know, that hole was there forever, and we just got it. I mean, I don't remember asking. Like, hey, we'll just take a shovel and dig a hole and pour water in it.
Did we dig that hole, or was that hole there?
We dug that hole. We 100% dug that hole.
Interesting.
It wasn't a huge hole. I mean, it was big enough for a wrestler. It was probably like 15 inches by 15 inches or something. Not a huge hole, but enough to have a good mud pit match. Speaking of the mud pit championships, one of the reasons there were so many LBWF championships was because the WCW figures came with little gold belts.
Yeah, God bless the glue people who made those people come with belts, those beautiful belts. You know, I don't usually plug the .com site there, the website there. What's but, you the know, go over it? There, goodbrothersjustin.com. Go over there and check out. We took some beautiful pictures at the beach of the Gloob toys, pretty recently.
Yeah, we did it this weekend on the beach. Bobby was good enough to walk down with me and have people laugh at us while we
stood
those old wrestling figures up on the beach. Luckily, we did it in the morning on, like, Memorial Day morning, so there wasn't a lot of people there, but enough there to, like, see what you're doing and laugh at two, fat guys
taking
pictures
feel
of toys.
You were laying on the ground like you were doing some sort of crazy photo shoot.
Yes.
Anyways, so now that we've told you that.
Well, and you were finding all those good things, like the little piece of wood and the shells and stuff to put the pictures.
Yeah, I was surprised I didn't find more shells, but I guess morning time or whatever.
I think we had enough shells. We're going to have the guy stand on top of a million shells.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I'd like to have a big old shell, like a big cool shell. Like one of them twisty shells. Anyways, go check it out. Beautiful pictures. But summertime for us, you got outside, and
played on the porch.
Played on the porch, and go ahead, one of the best porch memories.
Yes, one of the best porch all-time wrestling memories. Well, one memory I always have is of the paper boy going up and down the road. And he would stop and see what we were doing when we were playing wrestling on the porch.
Yeah.
But my favorite, the best thing ever, was the Dollar Store Arena, which was an arena we created out of a cardboard box. And we used a Dollar Store bag and shredded it up to make the entrance curtain. And then we took a strand of Christmas lights and poked it through the top so it had lighting, which was awesome. And then we took, I think we cut pictures out of wrestling magazines to make, like, glue on the sides to make the crowd.
We may have told you guys this before. Maybe you haven't heard that episode. But it was one of our most cherished memories. We still think about it to this day as grown adult men. We still cherish that little piece of trash Dollar Store Arena that we created.
I was playing WWE 2K18 and just got to make an LBWF show for the WWE Universe recently, WWE Universe mode, and I wanted to recreate the Dollar Store Arena, and I still don't feel like I've got it right. And, if we went back and looked at it, it would probably just look like a crappy box with holes cut in it. It would probably look so terrible.
That curtain was what made that arena.
I often think about if we had what we had today as kids, like being able to play entrance music on your phone.
Oh, my
gosh. Just having that for being able to play, I can't imagine. Much less all the great toys. But, of all the great toys that come out, I'll never love any more than the Hasbro figures, though.
The Hasbro figures, I know you get more points of articulation with these new toys.
More realistic.
They're just so big, though, aren't they? They're just so much different about
them. They just don't fit right.
You got to pinch them because they're so small, Them Hasbro toys fit in the meat of your hand, They were thick.
No, I don't know what you mean by that. They were smaller, not bigger.
I don't know. Anyways.
But yeah, the Dollar Store Arena. and I'll just go ahead and plug the Twitter, too. Twitter and Well Good Brothers Wrestling on Facebook. If you have your Wrestling Federation memories, this is what I really want to hear. Like, these are the things I want to hear about what you did, the listener, growing up with your toys, when you were playing with toys, not collecting toys, playing with toys. I got a good message from a guy talking about one of his Last Action Hero figures that he would bring into his Wrestling Federation. I think we could talk about some of our guys that ended up in the LBWF that were legends that weren't necessarily wrestling figures. And who does that bring to mind for you?
The Pirate, man.
He has a very interesting story. So he was a pirate, generic pirate figure. I don't know where he
came from. I got it for my birthday from Aunt Kathy.
Oh, I didn't know that's where he came from.
That's exactly where he came from.
He was like he was tall, kind of tan, and a rubbery head, and he had white pants. And we gave him black pants, and I think we tried to give some purple accents to it. And a hat. I think we tried to make a hat out of cardboard or something.
I don't remember.
Or construction paper. Yeah, we dressed him up somehow. And he was the Undertaker because there was no Undertaker figure at that time. Well, then the Undertaker was actually brought into the LBWF when his figure was released.
Signed a contract
with us. So the pirate changed gimmicks to just the pirate. And he just ditched all the Undertaker stuff And he was kind of like a giant Gonzalez, I guess, type
That's
guy.
That's exactly what he was.
And he was definitely an LBWF legend. If there were an LBWF Hall of Fame, the Pirate Boo would be in it. Unfortunately, he had a career-ending injury when he broke his pelvis. I don't know, the little plastic thing that holds his legs on.
A Ninja Turtles car, I believe, fell on him one day in a street fight.
We'll get to this in a second. It'll remind me, Junkyard Battle Royals. But yeah, so he had his big final match with Hulk Hogan down on Mums's brick wall, retaining wall. And that was one of the greatest WWF matches in history. Of course, the Pirate goes out on his back, does the honors for Hulk, but he'll never be forgotten.
Never forgot.
I always think of Casey Jones, the Ninja Turtles Casey Jones
figure. Oh, yeah.
What was his name? He wasn't called Casey Jones in the WWF. What was his name?
Can't
his name was Bob Wire.
Bob Wire, yeah. Old Bob Wire.
Interesting note about Bob Wire, he also suffered the same injury that the Pirates suffered, but he was able to keep his legs on, so he didn't have to retire.
He teamed with Raphael. We had a lot of... It was interesting, the Ninja Turtles crossover that occurred with the WWF, because you had the Super Shredders tag team.
Yep.
Super Shredder. And then I feel like Bob Wire and Raphael teamed up.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. We had a lot of Ninja Turtle. I mean, we love the Ninja Turtles figures.
But here's and they were good. They were good for wrestling. Like they were. They had a lot of like.
Well, here's an interesting thought. You were also into those Dick Tracy figures, really big. I mean, I liked them, but you liked them more than me.
Yeah, that's big time.
They were made by Playmates, who were made the Ninja Turtles. They were made just like Ninja Turtles, same size and scale. They were men. Why didn't none of the Dick Tracy figures ever show up in the OBWF? Did they have some kind of exclusive deal with New Japan that we didn't know about?
I don't know. And you know what? We had all those Marvel toys, too. We had Venom.
Well, they were on Venom, a different... Right? They were at a different scale. They were small. Their heads would look ridiculous with the size of the OBWF figure heads.
Maybe. You never wanted Big Boy Caprice or...
We never did it, though. I guess you did.
Caprice or Mumbles or...
What about Steve the Tramp? He seems like Steve the Tramp.
No, you didn't take him out of the package, man. He was a collector, so...
I took him out of the package. It seems like Steve the Tramp would have been an OBWF stalwart. Anyway, I was talking about...
I don't think we had Steve the Tramp.
We had Steve the Tramp.
I'm pretty sure I don't. Well...
Apparently, they yanked Steve the Tramp off the shelves because they said he was, like, not... It was, like, degrading to homeless people. He was just some rough-looking dude. If I was homeless, I'd be stoked that they made a figure for me, you know? I guess. Junkyard Battle Royals. Now, these were always super fun. We just get all of our toys, basically, and throw, like, the vehicles and stuff on the floor and have a big Battle Royal. And who do you remember playing with the most in Junkyard Battle Royals?
Well, oddly enough, I guess the Pirate, because he was memorable. Also, the Miner, which was Hulk Hogan with some blackface paint.
Well, tell the Miner story.
Well, see, I got an additional Hulk Hogan when I was
in
second grade.
You got a different Hulk Hogan, yeah.
A different Hulk Hogan. We had the first Hulk Hogan, and I got the Hulk Hogan that gave the bear hug. And we really didn't have much use for him. He kind of sucked anyways.
The bear hug Hulk Hogan sucked. You couldn't pin him. You couldn't do anything with him.
What are you going to do with him? You might body slam somebody. You might slam Andre, but heck, we didn't even have an Andre.
We didn't.
One of the saddest things about the NBA.
And here's the thing, I can remember, and you know how much I paid for an Andre the Giant? Like $20 to get him recently.
Hey, man.
But I can remember being at Magic Mart, and we went to the toy aisle. There was Andre, had never seen him out before. Went to Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad were talking to Winnie. You remember Dad's Aunt Winnie?
No.
Passed away. They were talking to Winnie at Magic Mart. I said, Mom, can we get this? We weren't even asking for two. We didn't even want one for you, one for me. We just wanted Andre the Giant. $4.99. I said, no toys. No toys.
Hey, man,
I told you, no toys. They might not have $4.99. It's all right.
That's exactly right.
But look how much I had to spend on it now, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Jeez. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for all the toys. We had everybody.
It doesn't matter that you bought us 70 other ones.
Always more than that, Andre. But anyways, the Hogan. So we went ahead and being from where we were, we put some black marker on
West Virginia.
Smeared it up, called him the Miner. And
the Miner and the Pirate, of course, had a big tag team for a while. But the person I remember from the Battle Royals was that sumo wrestler Ninja Turtles toy, Tatu.
I thought his name was Fatu.
No, Fatu was Rikishi. But Tatu, and we just made him Yokozuna pretty much until the Yokozuna figure came out.
We had to get creative, people. We didn't have everybody.
But yeah, those were good times. But the ultimate time, I guess, for WWF, what was the best WWF events?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can't have a federation. You can't have your own federation without having your pay-per-views, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
Your big events. And so we, too, had our big events. You know, we had almost like an in-your-house type events. And then we had our big events. And I guess our two big events were Beach Blast, which we held down at the pool.
There was our grandma's in-ground pool, the greatest pool of all time.
And then if you really wanted to have a big event, if you wanted to blow off a major feud, or if you wanted to just see a big thing happen, this is dumb. This is your night for it.
The OVW's biggest pay-per-view was called, you can say it.
You can say it.
Big Boy's Bloodiest Battles. Big Boy's Bloodiest Battles.
Now, Big Boy's Bloodiest Battles. A lot of it came from...
Why do we call it Big Boy?
I don't know, man. It sounded great at the time. And a lot of it came because you would go through magazines or that WWF encyclopedia that we had.
Yes.
And you would throw together names. Like, you pick names we out. Would,
yeah, so I love making random cards. And I found out the wrestling match, like, groups of wrestling shows were called cards. I didn't, you know, I guess because when you see the thing, the commercials, it's a card subject to change. So I got one of those books of index cards, and I thought that's why they were called cards, because they wrote these down on these cards. So that's why wrestling is, matches are called a card.
Good logic.
And I can remember just sitting in church or sitting at home, writing down these cards, like, oh, here's what we're going to have. But I would go through the WWF magazines, and I'd just look for names, like, okay, the next name's going to face this guy, and then this guy's going to face this guy. And that's how we would get some of our Big Boy's Bloodiest Battles cards. And if we weren't having a feud at the time, which there were some great WWF feuds. No, don't get me wrong, they weren't all random.
I'm going to tell you guys something about playing with wrestling, man. You might sit here, you might be sitting there on your own end thinking that we played together and one person held one wrestler and one wrestler and held another.
That would be horrendous.
That's an awful way to play. It's an awful way to play. You can play like G.I. Joe's with that if you're shooting at each other or something. You cannot play wrestling toys like that.
You can't play any toys that way.
So with our big events and pretty much all the time.
I'd forgotten about this.
We had separate rings. We had two different rings. We had the old blue WWF ring, and then we had this busted up piece of trash ring that Galoob put out.
Now, WCW ring.
I love the WCW ring, but you talk about no give. It was made out of
hard plastic.
Now,
wait. You're forgetting one thing. It had that bouncy spot in the middle.
Well, I was about to say. Okay. It had some cool stuff. Like, you could launch off. I think you could launch into the ring.
Mm-hmm. It was a big box on top of the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
With a handle on it that you could push down and let go. A springboard.
Yep. So that was cool.
Which didn't look real at all.
Also had a cage.
So that was the big draw of the Galoob ring, because the turnbuckles came off all the time.
They just
broke off and you couldn't keep the ring going. I mean, not the ring posts came off all the time. So you would just take the ring post off and just have the cage. The cage was great. The big red cage.
Yeah, the big red cage was amazing. You could have some real good, I mean, you have to maneuver your hands a little awkwardly around it. You never had to play with it. You always got the good blue ring.
Well,
I always got that glue ring, no matter how busted it was. It was just a mat at the end, you know. It was just a sumo wrestling mat.
Unlike the WWE ring, because the blue ring had so much give and it was just a thin piece of plastic, it wasn't all marked up but from the paint of the wrestlers. But the WCW ring, because it was a big, hard hunk of plastic and was gray, it just had different marks all over it.
Marks. And it had a bell. There was a bell with that.
Yeah, there was a bell. That was pretty cool.
There was a bell with that.
But,
so,
but when we played with different rings, what did we always say? You could watch it on what?
Screen one.
Camera one and camera two.
Yep.
There was camera one and camera two.
I mean, we were pretty serious with our federation, guys. And so that was always great. And I'll let you talk about our other big event, Beach Blast, which I mentioned.
So I think Beach Blast, we talked about that. I mean, Beach Blast, we'd take the big tub of all the wrestling figures or pile them all in the ring, the ones we needed. But usually we just took everybody. Carry it down to the pool. You'd have all sorts of match capabilities. I don't know what happened there. You have some all sorts of kinds of matches. You would have matches on the edge of the pool where the guy would get thrown into the pool. You could have a matches on a float. You could have a match. But the best kind of match, the best kind of beach blast. Did we call it Beach Blast? Yes, we did.
I think we did.
The best Beach Blast match was the Peninsula match, which was just a match on the diving board. Three sides, you could get dumped in the water. Pretty smart, man. It's a pretty smart geography terms in our play.
Yeah.
But probably the greatest WWF match of all time, the Texas Tornado versus Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title in a Peninsula match at Beach Blast.
Near falls.
Man, it was just hot.
Crazy offense.
I wish someone had recorded it because it was such a good match. I'm sure Perfect ended up in the water at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's why when I got the WWE Network and was able to watch Beach Blast matches from the real WCW Beach Blast pay-per-views, I was so disappointed because ours were outside and beautiful and sunny and there was water everywhere. It was, they were great. It wasn't just inside some arena, you know, some dark arena.
Yeah, at least they were, the announcers were wearing Hawaiian shirts half the time, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
So you can get excited about that. Yeah, no, Beach Blast was always fun. It was always a blast. Getting the toys, making the card.
I can remember when I got older.
In the water. Back home.
I can remember when I got older, I'd always, like, look to see if anybody was around to see us walking down with the toys. I wouldn't want them to see me carrying the toys down. So you'd wait till everybody was gone. But, yeah, Hasbro figures, man. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this up. The MPWF, the greatest federation of all time. But I'm going to ask you some questions. And I was going to say who were the top five MBWF wrestlers of all time. But what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to take every MBWF title and ask you who you think would be the ultimate holder of it that was in the MBWF.
Okay.
So let's go first. Let's start at the bottom and then we'll go to the top. Who do you think would be, we already know this one, the ultimate Mud Pit Champion.
There was never a belt, was it? I don't remember.
Mud Pit Championship had a belt.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mud Pit Championship had a belt. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He was hacking it out in that Mud Pit. Who do you think would be the ultimate MPWF six-man tag team championships? Champions. MPWF six-man.
I feel like Doom and somebody held it a lot.
We never had Doom, man. We never had Butch Reed, so your memories are bad.
Well, yeah, I could have told you that. I don't know. I didn't even remember having a six-man tag championship.
We definitely had a six-man tag team championship.
Just get to the real good ones, okay?
I like to throw the obscure ones out first.
Well, I don't remember.
I would say it would be the Steiner Brothers and the Z-Man. They wrestle together all the time. Anyway. All right. MPWF United States Champion. Who would you put that on?
I'd put that on... probably Sting.
I absolutely think Sting would be the MPWF United States Champion. We're getting a lot of WCW guys out here, but, you know, we love them. MPWF Intercontinental Champion.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart for sure. I think that's a really good, strong answer. Who would you say, MPWF, you know who I'd throw that six-man tag title on?
No idea.
I'd put it on the Pirate, the Miner, and Bob Wire.
If we had it to do all over again.
That's a really good, that's a strong tag team. MPWF Tag Team Champions of all time.
Well, I would think it would be the Steiner Brothers myself.
I think it's the Steiner Brothers too. We keep naming these WCW figures. I gotta also say that that title was held a lot by Demolition.
Yes, it was. I don't know. I never did care for the Demolition toys for some reason.
What? I love the Demolition toys. Maybe that's why they were part of the Grill Challenge.
I never cared for the Road Warriors either, the Legion of Doom ones.
Well, you know, Hawk was that handleback, and he had that spring inside of him.
Death to handlebacks.
And the thing about handlebacks is the WCW belts barely fit on them. So you get that last little notch and be able to put them on, and then it would pop right off. It was hard to make them the tag. You don't want to just have them holding it around their arm, you know, unless they're Yokozuna. All right, MBWF World Premium Champion.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, I agree with that completely. It's funny how we just agree completely.
Well, I mean, you know, shared memories.
So the World Premium Champion came about because WCW and the NWA merged back together, but there was still a WCW belt and an NWA belt. But then the NWA broke up with WCW, so they just called it the, what did they call it?
International or something?
Yeah, I think it was the International Championship. That's not right. That might be right. It might have been the international title. But anyway, they had that. Well, we stole a belt from one of our cousins that came with third to wrestling ring. Yeah. Sorry, Chris. That had to be Chris, right?
Must have been.
And we had the World Premium Championship, which that's what a good name. How come nobody's ever called their title the World Premium Championship?
I don't know, man. It's a solid name. Solid handle for your championship.
Oh, what about the MBWF Light Heavyweight Champion?
Oh, the Moondog.
So, if you'll remember back, they weren't just WCW Galoob figures. We had WCW Bend'em figures, too, which were probably 8 inches tall. They were probably twice as tall as
the Galoob
figures.
Yeah, they were
pretty tall. And they had terrible likenesses. They looked like garbage. There were Bend'em figures for lots of things, but WCW had Bend'ems in the 90s. And so we had, like, Bend'em Barry Windham. And the rest of the Bend'ems, we had the Galoob versions, the real versions of. So we gave them different gimmicks. So Sting became Stone Boulder. Everybody got white out on him. So Sting had white out painted on him. He became Stone Boulder. Ric Flair got white out on him, and he became Jeff Jarrett. We didn't know what Jeff Jarrett looked like, but we read wrestling magazines, so we knew that he was a big deal in the
white
USWA.
Hair, you know.
Yeah, he had blonde hair. And then Lex Luger, he got white out all over him, and we just called him the Moondog. We didn't know who the Moondogs were, but we thought the
Lex
Luger...
Read about him in their magazines.
Yeah, read about it in the wrestling magazine. We should do a tribute to wrestling magazines one day.
Yeah, we might do that. That's not a bad idea.
So you're giving it to the Moondog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give that to
you. You know what's funny? One time when you were away for summer camp, I made the Moondog world champion.
I can't believe you did that. We would always say, like, things like, if you're going to do that, I'm going to make Bushwhacker Butch the champion. If you do that, I'll make Bushwhacker Butch the champion. I think almost everybody held the MBWF championship at some point.
They had one of the greatest matches, though. Moondog had one of the greatest matches on the top of the basement stairs, man.
Moondog and Jeff Jarrett?
I can't remember. It was for the title. I think whoever beat for the title.
Oh, I wish I'd seen that.
I didn't Sting. Oh, it was a good one, buddy. It was a good match.
Do you remember any, before we named the Ultimate MBWF Champion, do you remember any other great MBWF matches besides the ones we've kind of talked about? I can remember when The Undertaker came in. He had a match. I was having a match on the coffee table with like four dudes for the WWF Championship, and he just like laid waste to all of them and captured it on his first day. A lot of people captured it on their first match because we were excited to have them.
I had a really good Bret Hart versus Sting match one time. WCW ring. Probably had a big boys on his battles, a sure. Triple quad B.
Now, I remember a great Ric Flair and Arn Anderson versus Sting and the British Bulldog.
Yes, Ric Flair and Arn Anderson.
At Beach Blast. Yeah. That was a crazy match. No ring. We never took the ring down to the pool because it had stickers on it. But eventually we did, and the sticker got all gunky.
Yeah.
You
put it on a little boogie board, and you have an island match.
Yeah, but it always just get wet and crappy. It just wasn't worth it. Okay, so you want to name the Ultimate MBWF Champion when we're done, or do you want to name the top five, your top five favorite wrestlers in the MBWF first?
Let's name the Ultimate one.
Okay, MBWF World Heavyweight Champion, who would you put that strap on? Who do you think represented the MBWF the best?
Macho Man.
Macho Man. See, I always see it as Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I think Macho Man. I just remember Macho Man holding that title a lot.
The Ultimate Warrior figure just looks so strong, though, with his rippling muscles and his arms out with his fingers
like claws.
Yeah, he
was the most steroided. He was just a poster of steroids.
He was certainly a beast. He was a beast. All right, so, well, let's wrap it up. Top five favorite MBWF wrestlers. Your top five favorite toys. I guess the MBWF, of course, lived. It was the greatest federation of all time in the early 90s. There were a couple revivals when those ECW figures came out. And when I was in high school, we kind of played with them a little bit. on the down low. And then there was one huge WWF revival when we would take pictures of the wrestlers and made a MySpace or an Angel Fire page about it.
Angel Fire, that's
all
it was.
And then we had this big, I mean, and I wasn't playing with them at that point. I was just taking pictures. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then you came up for this Wallflowers concert when you were in college and I was a married adult. And we just played with these old WCW toy bins.
Oh, those old WCW.
Those WCW toy bins figures from the 2000s.
Raven, DDP.
Oh, yeah. And some of the WWF figures from then. And we just had a huge, I guess you could call it a junkyard battle royal. Rings were involved. It was insane. It was one of my favorite memories of all time, really, playing with those and then going to that Wallflowers concert.
That was a good time, man. Real good time.
To commemorate the WWF, the original WWF. Who would you say top five favorite LBWF wrestlers?
Yeah. Real quick, Sting.
5-1.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do 5-1.
Just do five.
Moondog, Sting.
You can't rank who's better, Moondog or Sting. Obviously, Sting's better than Moondog.
Moondog, Sting, Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson by himself?
He had that. I loved Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson was a strong figure. Toss. He was a strong figure, but I don't know about top five. Come on.
Bret Hart.
I would say also say world television champion, Arn Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Man, we loved those Galoob figures, didn't we?
We really did. You know, I didn't hit. Maybe it's because we just were playing with them, you know, on the beach. But I do remember loving them.
Bret Hart.
For sure.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's five.
Did I say Ultimate Warrior?
No.
Oh, well, Ultimate Warrior beats out somebody in there.
You got to take one out. I'm sure it's Arn Anderson, right?
Yeah, I guess Arn Anderson.
All right, I'm going to give you my top five. Jake the Snake. He had a snake. His arm was shaped perfectly to do the DDT. He was just great. I don't remember holding titles a lot, but he was one of my favorite figures for sure. The Honky Tonk Man. He was just so colorful, and he came with a guitar.
He could do a drop kick like nobody's business.
He could do a good drop kick. The Shawn Michaels non-rockers version with his Heartbreak Kid gimmick.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior, 100%.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, the non-minor Hulk Hogan.
Huh.
Maybe I'm a mark, but I love that Hulk Hogan figure. Noticing your top five was not Macho Man, who you named Ultimate LBWF Champion.
Yeah, you held the title. It's not like I was. You were the booker, man.
No, we made booking decisions together.
You were the booker of that world title. That's why I put it on Moondog.
Anyway, at any rate.
Booked the top like you were Vince McMahon.
This has been our tribute to the LBWF, to our toy figures, to our Hasbro figures, our Galoob figures, our Bendems, our Ninja Turtles, our childhood, I guess. Tribute to our favorite time of our childhood. We'd love to hear from you guys at Good Brothers WP on Twitter, Good Brothers Wrestling on Facebook. Just tell us your wrestling toy memories. It doesn't have to be the Galoob. If you're younger or older, if you were playing with those old LGN figures that they were like bricks, maybe that was your fun time. But I just want to hear about the imagination and the fun time that you had. We had a really good time recording this, I guess.
Enjoyed it, man.
So, goodbrotherswrestling.com. Go check out that Galoob review. It really is good. The pictures are just good. It just makes you feel good to see those old figures. And we'll be back next week talking about actual wrestling, I'm sure. We got Best in the World. We're going to at the end of the month.
Woo!
So, that's exciting. We got Money in the Bank in a couple weeks. A lot of good all-ins on everybody's lips. So, a lot of the good things going on. Good Brothers Wrestling saying bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.